I'm John Gehring. This is Rochester Speaks, and I'm joined again today by Sarah Bruner, the director at Gateway Home in Attica, where they provide free, dignified, and spiritual support for those in their final stages of life. Sarah has been on with us before talking about what they do at Gateway Home for those who are just passing away in those last few days or weeks of life. And she's back today to talk a little bit about death and dying and some of the things that she's experienced. So, Sarah, thanks so much for stopping by this morning.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for giving me a place to talk about things that I'm so passionate about teaching.
So this is one of those things. It's death, and it's an uncomfortable topic. And I hear a lot of people now going, cringing a little bit, like, do I really need to listen to this? But I think this is so important because 10 out of 10 die, right? That's
the ratio we currently have, yep.
Most staggering statistics. So what is one thing that stands out to you as you've been in the room with those who have passed on?
It's peace. A lot of people, I think, just assume that death hurts, and it doesn't. And what it comes down to in the final hours, the final minutes, is that you are peaceful, and it feels like an experience that is set apart and almost holy ground, you know, not associating it to one religion or the other, but it just kind of feels like you're in the presence of somebody that's transitioning from one thing to another, and it's not scary. It's not painful. People are mostly asleep when they pass from this life to the next, and it's gentle most of the time.
So in what kinds of situations over at Gateway Home, which, by the way, is in Attica, it's a beautiful facility. You may be even familiar with the home if you are familiar with Attica. At what point does someone know that it's right for them to go into a facility like Gateway Home?
Yeah, that's a good question. You're full of good questions. So Gateway Home is the place that you're going to call after you've had the conversation with your doctor that there's no more that they can do for you medically to cure what is going to be the thing that kills you, that helps you to transition. So you get that, you have that conversation with your doctor where they say, like, this is the plan that we have. The plan isn't working. And, you know, at this point, we think that it's better for you to move on to being taken care of in a way that makes you comfortable instead of with the aim to heal. And usually that comes with a prognosis, right? 6 months, 3 months. At 6 months, you're eligible for hospice care inside of your home, which is a wonderful, wonderful organization, and they do fabulous things. They help you continue your daily living activities and keep a sense of normal as long as possible. They can also help you to die at home if that is what you want to do. Somebody comes to Gateway Home when they have less than 3 months to live. And in a situation where their caretakers can no longer caretake them, you know, say you're an 85-year-old woman, your husband's also 85, you know, and your kids are maybe still in their 40s, they're still working full time, and they're still, you know, going about doing their daily life, and it's kind of a hardship almost to them, and you don't want to be a burden on your family, and you think, you know, what I really need is an extended family who can take care of me, and that's where Gateway steps in, where your extended family, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your friends who come in and take care of you in our home, so that your family can just sit and be your family. The husband's not worried about changing his wife's brief. He's worried about sitting by her side and holding her hand and greeting with her and kind of treasuring up those last moments.
And so you've seen so many of these moments as someone who takes care of these people. And what is it like for the families? Because what you make it sound like is that, you know, passing on and transitioning is a really peaceful thing for the person who's doing it. But maybe not always so much so for the family who's, you know, going through and watching their loved one go through it and knowing that, you know, that this is, there's some permanence to this. So how do you make the families also most comfortable in that scenario?
Yeah, we focus a lot on families when they're here, because that you're absolutely right. It's easy to die. It's hard work to stay living, right? Especially when your normal has just changed. You know, I'll reference once again the couple that have been married for 65 years. That's a long time to do life alongside of someone. He makes the coffee, she makes the bagels, and then they sit down and have breakfast together. And all of that is kind of, that's just one example. It's every little piece of their day, of their normal, is about to change or is already changing with their loved one being here and being ill. What we do here to make them comfortable is we're beginning to offer now end-of-life doula services in the home. Most people know doulas for birth, right? Birth doula goes in, she helps you create a birth plan and then helps make sure it's carried out when you can't speak for yourself. End-of-life doula, much the same thing. Come in when the person is still coherent with us, makes a plan of how they want to die. You know, what kind of lighting do you want? What do you want the room to smell like? Are there people you want here or are there people you don't want here? You know, do you like it warm? Do you like it a little cooler? Are you prone to hot flashes? Do you need a fan? Things like that. Another facet of doula work is to reprocess and comfort the family. So reprocessing kind of includes, once your person has passed, and watching them pass can be a bit of a trauma, right? It's peaceful. It's lovely in the room. However, you've still watched your mom take her last breath. And that is something that's going to stay with you forever. So what a doula does is kind of make themselves available to the family. They become another family member that person can then call, that daughter can call in the days after, in the months after, and just rework that trauma with them. Listen warmly, kind of help them through, teach them a little bit about grief. So that's something that we offer to families. We also, you know, our volunteers are lovely. There's a pot roast in the oven because they're not going to feed themselves otherwise. And there's, you know, coffee on and fresh brownies made. And why don't you take a break and go lay down and I'll sit with Dad for a little while and things of that nature. Just a lot of reassurance that this is the process. It may not feel normal to you, but it's normal for the process. Taking kind of that fear, the stigma, and the anxiety away from the situation.
That's a huge thing. As we're talking with Sarah Bruner from Gateway Home in Attica, we're talking about passing on from this life to the next. And it's the stigma that's around this. And it's something that even people, you know, younger adults you know, maybe just starting off in the journey of adulthood, even have fears about, even though, you know, ideally they're decades and decades away from it. How do we break this stigma of death? And how do we change the conversations around it to be less of this thing that we just push aside and not talk about because it's too uncomfortable?
So knowledge, the best way to take the stigma away from something or to take the fear away from something is to shed light. Talk about it. Use the words death, dying. Those are taboo words that people don't want to even say out loud. You know, we say things like transition and pass on and pass away. And those are all fine and good, but they're use because people are just even afraid to use those two words. Like some using them may have an effect. Spend 2 hours in a comfort care home, you know, even 2 hours a week if you want. Come and see what it looks like and educate yourself about it. There's books, there's beautiful books, there's even TikTok. There's hospice nurses on TikTok that are fantastic. Hadley and Hospice Nurse Julie. Wonderful information out there for the young folks that are TikToking. They're absolutely fantastic wealth of knowledge. And I think that that's what's starting to come to light now, is that the more we talk about it, the better it feels. The more you know about what's coming down the pike, you know, the less you actually dread that it's coming. There's a beautiful video, Barbara Karnes, K-A-R-N-E-S. She is the leading expert on death and dying right now. She was a hospice nurse for 40 years. And she has written a series of lovely books. They're small little books that are just wonderful, packed with knowledge. Here's what you're hoping. Here's what you're going to experience for the next couple of months. Here's what you're going to experience the next couple of hours. Here's what you're going to experience the minute that somebody passes. This is what it's going to look like. And I think, you know, arming yourself with experts and knowledge is the best way to take away the stigma, take away the fear, take away the dread. The more we have conversations like you and I are having now, the more that people listen to them and lean in, the better, because death is not scary. It's not. I've been there lots. And it's just, it's more of a joy and a peace than scary and hurting.
Yeah. Now, is there, since you've experienced, how many deaths approximately have you been around?
25 to 30.
Yeah. So would you say that from your experience, because you talk about, you know, this Barbara Karnes and her writing and how, you know, she's able to, having witnessed so much, kind of predict what's going to go on in those stages of death. Is it that predictable? Do people actually all die the same?
No. I will say that there are milestones, right? Like milestones with babies growing up, where they usually get teeth at this time. They usually, and that's kind of the same. You know, there are characteristics that are usually the same, but there's a couple of different ways to die. You can die suddenly, or you can die gradually. And gradual death usually looks the same, although people still surprise me. Sudden death, you can't predict. There's no, you know, there's no harbinger of death when you go out and you get hit by a truck in the street. You know, that's quick. But the gradual death usually comes with some milestones. You know, usually you have the death rattle. Everybody knows about that. They've heard about that. And, you know, your urine getting darker and darker. Darker as your kidneys shut down, things like that. But not everybody dies the same. And most of the time, they die the way they've lived. And I'll explain that. We had a beautiful man who was stubborn. We'll say stubborn and stoic, and did not like to have a lot of people around him. Now, naturally, as his days were dwindling down, his daughters all decided that they wanted to huddle in the room and be near him. And everybody wants to be there for the moment, right? We want to hold vigil and bear witness, and that's normal and good. This man was not going to pass in front of his daughters.
Wow.
That is not the way he lived. It is not the way that he conducted his business. And the minute that they all kind of dispersed to get a cup of coffee, he passed as soon as they walked out of the room.
Wow. So there's almost like you have a certain amount of control too, maybe more so than we realize. We just think, well, they're dying. They're sleeping. They have no idea what's going on, and they're just going to pass when they're going to pass. But I've heard that from multiple occasions. It's like, if you don't want to die, there is a certain release of, okay, now it's okay to let go. Is that kind of what you've experienced?
100%. 100%. And the ones that are, you know, kind of the most stark are mothers, mothers and wives. They will make it specific. If they're waiting for somebody to come say goodbye that they have not seen yet, or if they are waiting for this one piece of business that has been on their mind. Did the electric bill get paid? Did the groceries come? Are my kids taken care of? You know, they are tense and they don't release until that thing has been, you can tell them, you know, it is done. It is taken care of. It don't worry. You know, I'm going to take care of them. I made sure they ate today. And then you can see as they physically relax that it's easier for them to release and to transition. It happens like that. There is a modicum of control. I can't say that for certain because, you know, I'm not omniscient, but I have seen it enough to know that there is an amount of control that they do have on the day and the hour. My own best friend passed away when we were 47 years old. She was nearing her imminent stage on her son's birthday. And she was unconscious. She was comatose. She was also deathly afraid of the dark her whole life. And as I sat with her that final night, it turned to 4:45, 5 a.m. And I said, you've made it. You know, it's not Colin's birthday anymore. The sun is starting to come up and the birds are singing. It's not dark. And she passed 5:15. It's just that is the way that it goes. There is a modicum of control there.
Wow. And so that's peaceful. And so that's actually the opposite of where you'd think you'd want to be holding on as long as possible. And people maybe do that to a certain extent, but then the relax, that is actually associated with that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. How about that moment? I mean, people ask about the moment a lot and people wonder about the moment. What is that going to be like from an outside perspective? What is that moment? I mean, is there a light? Are there angels singing? You know, all those stereotypical things about that one moment. It's hard to know not being inside the person who's dying, but are there any clues about that you've gotten?
Yeah. So another great question. I love this one.
Thank you.
So it's not a moment. It's more of a time period. So there's hours where you see folks that maybe have been comatose or non-responsive start to talk to people or look at people that you can't see. Mm-hmm. And they say names, and the names are of people that have not been with us for 20 years. They start to even break a smile through their comatose, and you know that they've just seen something really good. You know, it's coming for them. Somebody, and you know the person that you're looking at, right? You've known them your whole life. So you know what their mannerisms, their facial expressions, their voice tones, you know what that means. And you know when they've seen something that's familiar. I have an example of a man who was passing. He was in his final, it turned out to be 2 hours. And he looked past me at the window and he said, Mom, how did you walk through there? And then he said, are we going to the creek? I didn't know him very well. I just sat with him. I held his hand, you know, just holding space with him. Didn't interrupt his conversation. I knew it wasn't for me, but he passed 2 hours later. So in my experience, 10 out of 10 times, people come for you, your people, your friends, your family, people who have passed before you. They're coming to collect you and teach you the way every time. We see it every single time. There is a moment, you know, when it starts going from actively living to actively dying, when you see that smile, that comfort, that whole body relax. And those are things that are nonverbal. You can see those things with your eyes. They're tactical. that you know that person has been put at ease. I know who's coming for me. I helped her transition home, and I know she's coming back for me. And that's peaceful, right? That's more talking about that stigma, the dread, the fear. I promise you that in the moments when that's happening to you, you won't feel those things. You're going to feel ease. You're going to feel peace. You're going to feel comfortable and recognition of your folks that are just finally you're seeing them again and you're reunited, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Now, the ultimate skeptic might look at you and say, well, Sarah, I know this all sounds lovely, but
it's woo-woo.
Don't you think that maybe, you know, these people are hallucinating in their final moments? And you hear that argument a lot. What would you say to that argument?
I would say that I think it's highly unlikely that 10 out of 10 are going to hallucinate. I certainly, you know, skepticism has its, you know, has its place. And especially with critical thinking, we don't want people to let that go, right? Let's hold on to that. Let's dig in a little deeper. I would say if you think that it's hallucination, then that's okay for you to think. But it's also really peaceful to not think that. It's also peaceful to let yourself believe once in a while. But I would say hallucinating at the end, if you're looking at it clinically, it's not as common as people would think. There's not a lot of meds or chemical things going on in your body that would cause you to hallucinate toward the end either. So I would say, you know, odd for them to say the names of the folks, right? They say Arlene, and you look at their loved one and they say, oh, Arlene passed in 1986.
So these are all people who have passed on. They're never calling for people who are still alive.
They're not calling for people who, they're not saying names of people who are alive. They're not saying, you know, I see little green men on the ceiling. Right. They're saying, you know, hey, I'm going to go camping with John. And they did that when they were kids. And that's comforting to them. And, you know, hallucination or not, it's peaceful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I would say in experience, I've seen both hallucinations and what I'm talking about now is I death visits. It's different.
It's different.
It's different.
That's compelling. And what it is also, not only as a comfort for us as we, you know, occasionally that thought pops in your mind of, well, eventually I'm going to die. Hopefully not soon, but, you know, eventually that's in the cards for all of us. But I think there's also peace in knowing that maybe the family member who you went through that excruciating process of watching die is not a permanent loss. There is a time when there will be a reunion. So this is a really interesting topic, Sarah. I'm sure everybody's interested in this. So, you know, I'm excited to continue the conversation with you. I know we're out of time today, but real quick, Gateway Home in Attica. Is there the best way to contact you or maybe get in touch if you're interested in volunteering or helping out?
Absolutely. GatewayHomeAttica.org. Is our website. There is a place to get in contact with us right on the website. There's a place to apply to volunteer right on the website. All of our events are on the website. You can look at pictures of Gateway Home. And honestly, reach out if you're listening to this and you've something sparked inside of you, if you have more questions, reach out. We'd love to give you a tour. We'd love to, you know, show you what we do here. I'd love to talk to you and have more teachable moments and bring you aboard.
Sounds good. GatewayHomeAttica.org. Sarah Bruner, Director of Gateway Home. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing a really important topic with us.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it. Thank you so much.